Wow, you struggled to get that one out.
God, that was awful. I may actually voice over another one. And then, that was terrible. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your host, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, a midweek edition because there are games on Tuesday and Wednesday. With me, I have Andrew Laird, as always, at RotoWire Andrew. And as a special guest, second time in three weeks, it's Chris Mozinski. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, anytime, Chris. Anytime you want. So we had a very exciting weekend last weekend with two big derbies. And while let's get a little bit of reaction because Arsenal played it against Tottenham, which is one of the biggest derbies around. And Andrew, as the resident gunner here, what was your reaction to the derby game?
It was just very clear that after Arsenal took that lead that they were going to give it away. They have this tendency to play in the 60th minute like they're playing in the 94th, where they just figure as long as we just keep the ball out, you know, they just giving up corner kick after corner kick or free kicks near the box. You know, they're just like, you know, we only have to get through a few minutes and then we'll be okay, except they do it with 35 minutes left instead of 35 seconds. So it was clear that Spurs were going to break through. Harry Kane's first one wasn't a great goal, but it completely changed the tide. And then he banged home that second one that won it. And, you know, he's a legend now there, which Arsenal fans will be quick to tell you. He started in the Arsenal Academy and the internet's now flooded with pictures of 10-year-old Harry Kane wearing his Arsenal jersey. But
yeah,
they love him there, and as they should. There's not a better player in the Premier League playing right now.
Are you in favor of the nickname Hurricane?
I'm going to withstain from
comment. Withstain. That's withdrawing and abstaining.
That's right.
All right. And so, Chris, since every day is Derby Day for you as a Derby supporter, how was your Derby Day?
It was fantastic seeing the Rams pull out a victory. They got a big one Tuesday, so I'm getting ready. Tuesday, so I'm getting ready for that one.
Can you give us a quick championship report? Just how's Derby doing and who do you think is going to get promoted?
Ooh, Derby's currently tied on points for the top. They play Bournemouth tomorrow, and that would basically be for first place. A draw obviously could potentially knock both teams down, but Middlesbrough's up there, and everyone remembers them, right, from what they did in the FA Cup. They're given a push. And some of the teams from last year are actually kind of slagging behind. So you might get three completely new teams this year.
And who would be the three that you would pick right now to go up?
Well, I'm going to say Derby. I'll say Middlesbrough. And I'm going to say Bournemouth. I think they're playing well, too.
All right. So three completely new teams to the Premier League next year. That will be exciting. Almost as exciting as this upcoming fixture week. Probably more exciting. But anyway, as I digress here, let's get to it here. We have the first game on the schedule, which is Tuesday, starting at 2:45. And by the way, I did not announce myself as a host, but I am Mike Gottlieb, as usual, at SportsByGotti on the Twitter. And we officially get started with match week 25. Can't believe it's 25 games in already, but it's Sunderland at home against QPR.
Speaking of the championship.
Exactly. Two teams, actually, Sunderland playing a lot better recently since the arrival of Jermaine Defoe, who scored last week for Sunderland in their 1-1 draw with Swansea. So I'll start with Chris here because he loves Jermaine Defoe. Do you see him continuing his goal scoring against QPR?
You know, I do, only because I don't know where else Sunderland's really going to get it from. He seems to be the guy that they're feeding the ball to. I know his shot totals aren't high, but neither are the rest of Sunderland's. But QPR on the road again, it's just another matchup I like to take advantage of. And I think Defoe gets it. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think Defoe is the guy you look for a goal there.
Yeah. And Andrew, on the other side, would you be comfortable starting Kostel-Pantilimon?
I actually tweeted about this earlier today that This is the matchup
I do this on purpose, Andrew.
This is the matchup we're supposed to be looking at. So, Pantilimon is supposed to be the guy we start, and we're supposed to grab Van Aanholt and Virginie and whoever else wants to play in the back there. And I really struggle trusting these guys, especially with a few of the other matchups. But, we all rank Pantilimon rather high. I think it was more a result of you know, the lack of other options. But so, yes, he should be the option. You know, QPR without Charlie Austin as well. They got lucky with Austin avoiding a broken foot. That was kind of the initial prognosis or the initial thought that turns out x-rays are negative, which is great news for them, but not for this week. So, yes, Pantelimon is supposed to be the call.
All right. And just some injury news here. Connor Wickham actually passed fit and may be available for this game. A former podcast favorite of Andrew Laird. Would you feel confident if Connor Wickham starts?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought. All right, we'll move on to we spoke about Arsenal last week as far as their Derby Day. This week they play a slightly easier matchup at home against Leicester City. This is the one that people are probably going to take advantage of, and I wrote about this for Ball Watching. This is what I've been saying, but the rotation seems to be starting to happen now at Arsenal in terms of the midfielders. So, Andrew, I'll go back to you here. Which midfielders do you feel are safe to use, even if they don't necessarily get 90 minutes due to rotation?
I think that, you know, Sanchez, if he's in the midfield, wherever he is, he'll definitely start. I think he'll go 92. It sounded like he was pretty close to playing against Tottenham, so he'll definitely go. I think Ozil gets a start. And I think Cazorla gets a start, which means Walcott is going to come off the bench. Ramsey will start in sort of that holding midfield with Coquelin. And that's probably all the midfielders you need.
And Chris, would you feel comfortable using both, or is there one that you slightly give an edge to if you were only going to use one Arsenal midfielder this week?
I think you got to go with Ozil at this point. I know I was high on Cazorla, but I think Ozil's starting to pass him, and I think he's a better player in general. I would go with Ozil.
Yeah, and I remember you tweeting out a stat about Cazorla's numbers when Ozil is in the lineup, and his shots per game is assisted shots per game are significantly down when Ozil's in the lineup. Did you see any kind of synergy brewing last week, or is it one or the other, you feel?
I think it's one or the other with those two. And I think it's Ozil at this point. I think Cazorla still has the ability, but I think Ozil's moving ahead. And I think what worries me the most is the short game week and that rotation. I think there could be a lot of volatility at that position this week. Ozil's probably the safest.
Gotcha. I'm going to feel slightly vindicated about my Cazorla thoughts. But okay, we'll move on to one of the snore games of the week. Hull City at home against Aston Villa. The Aston Villa, who did score against Chelsea like everyone thought they would, and Hull City scoring against Man City last week like everyone thought they would. Do you feel like the goal-scoring barrage continues with the two of them? Chris, we'll start with you.
To be fair, I think they both only scored one goal. So barrage, if they both get one goal,
for them, that's a barrage. All right, that's both of them scoring in the same weekend.
I could very easily see both teams accidentally backing into a 1-1 draw on this one.
All right. And are there any goal scorers that you particularly like, or any option that you particularly like in this matchup?
It's tough because I think Hull City, you don't know where it's going to come from. They're so banged up front. You don't know who's starting, and the midfield's such a crapshoot without Diame in there. I think the one person I do like is Harald Heel out in Aston Villa. I think he's probably the best player on the field, and I think they're going to work on getting him more opportunities with the ball on his foot up on the attack.
He made Chelsea's defense look pretty stupid a couple times, so
he can play.
Yeah, Carlos Heel can certainly play. Andrew, would you feel comfortable starting Carlos Heel?
Yeah, I would. I mean, that he set up that goal he got the assist on the goal that finally Okori broke scored. That streak. So he
could have had a couple others, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely just looks like the best player on that team, and you know, when you're playing against one of the worst in the Premier League, you might as well go with him. But I think Christian Benteke does get back in the starting 11, though.
So, speaking of Benteke, I have a couple of stats about him. Let's say since the beginning of last month, when Sergio Aguero came back from injury, Christian Benteke has the most touches in the box among all forwards.
I love that stat.
It's a great talk about opportunity. He has he has 38 touches in the box, which have led to 11 shots. How many of those shots do you feel like have been on target?
Oh, it's zero, isn't it?
It's not zero.
Oh, thank you. It's one.
It's not zero. It's three. Ugh. That's the issue. And I don't know what the issue, I don't know how it's an issue. I don't know how to fix it. But someone just needs to, you know, if there's like a sight in his shooting just aim the sights a little better, you know, maybe have him wear some glasses. I don't know. I don't understand if he can't see the goal or anything. I feel like he's like Rick Vaughn in Major League. He's just not seeing the plate right now. If he does play, especially with Carlos Heel, I see a lot of sleeper potential if you get him at a cheap enough price. Chris, would you, if you can get him at a cheap enough price, let's say in a daily format, let's say 7% of the budget. So like if he was like a 7 out of 100, for example, would you feel comfortable trying to use him against Hull?
I might, only just because I think you're right, where Heel might just open it up a little bit for him. I mean, outside, when before he came, who was there to really help Benteke? I think defense could key on him and almost let him get the ball, but just make sure there were three guys in front of him that he couldn't do anything once he got it. I think that might change a little bit now.
Yeah, so I like that option going forward. So I don't want to talk too much about Aston Villa. They're not incredibly interesting. It's just something that was an interesting stat that I saw this week. So just wanted to point that out. But we'll move on here to, the Harry Kane. We spoke about him a little earlier. His Tottenham team travel to Liverpool. I want to just throw this out here. I'm going to ask both of you a question, yes or no. So Harry Kane's on fire right now. First of all, how many games has it been since Liverpool has conceded a goal? Does anyone know?
Is it five?
They have not given up one in 2015. I know that much.
Yeah, it's Joe. Yes, that's five matches. Yeah. So good call on both of you. You both got it right in different ways. So fantastic, guys. It's both good. Now, Harry Kane has basically not stopped scoring since the calendar's turned 2015. Which side wins that battle? Would you feel comfortable with Harry Kane this weekend against what's been the stingiest defense? And Andrew, I'll start with you.
I'd like to correct myself. I'm looking at the list now that they gave up 2 to Leicester on New Year's Day, and they've blanked everybody Premier League since then. The problem is that it's like Sunderland, Aston Villa, Everton. I guess they blanked West Ham, which is a pretty good win.
Everton. Everton's, Everton on a derby day. That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I have no problem going with Kane. Despite this streak, I don't trust. It's mostly that I don't trust Mignolet that much. Then it seems like the back three has.
So he's made a couple of good saves, and against Everton, he's made a couple of really good saves.
Yeah, I think some of his saves are out of position saves, though. They're saves that should be easy that he makes look great because he's out of position.
Dominic Hasek style.
Exactly, and so that worries me against. Specifically Harry Kane.
Gotcha. And offensively for Liverpool, Chris, are there options that you like in this game?
And I'm really hoping Sterling comes back. I like Sterling in this one.
Do you think Sturridge?
I'm sorry, Sturridge. I apologize. Sturridge, yeah. I'm hoping Sturridge comes back. I had their names written backwards for some reason. But I think Sterling and Sturridge, I think they play off each other really well. I'm excited to see them potentially both play serious minutes together and see what the fantasy potential is there. I think you could see both of them picking up assists or goals, and then both of those win you points. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'm certainly on board with both of those tips there.
So really quick, along that Liverpool-Tottenham, if you add up the score from the last three matches those two teams have played, what do you think it is?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
If you add up the last three matches of goals worth between Liverpool and Tottenham, what do you think the cumulative score is?
One.
No. By total goals scored in the three matches?
Well, just so, yeah, total goals and who had how, like, what was each team's goal scoring?
Yeah. Three matches.
I'm thinking 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 in one way, shape, or form.
Oh, really? I was going to go the opposite. I was going to say, like,
it was
3-1, 3-1, 3-1, something like that.
Liverpool 12, Tottenham 0.
So you're saying it's slightly one-sided.
Wow.
Very much so. I can't see that trend continuing just because, like you said, Harry Kane is just on a roll. But
and
that blew
Suarez
me away.
Is not there anymore.
Is not there. Correct. But he wasn't there the first time they played this year either. So.
Wow, that's incredible.
I was blown away by that.
I'm still stunned. I'm stunned. Well, With that, though, I do want to get to one of our two daily doses. We have two of them this week, so for Tuesday and Wednesday. So I just finished talking about the Tuesday games. So let's go to our Tuesday lineups for DraftKings. We have two lineups in. They separated out by day. There's no combined game. So I'll start with my goalie and back two. So I picked Brad Guzan in goal at 4.2, and I chose Santiago Vergini at 2.8, as Andrew said earlier. And this is a situation I'm going to be – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think you're reading points per game.
No.
He's 2,800?
Yeah, he's 2,800. Wow. No, points per game, he's slightly higher than that.
I hope so.
Yes. But no, he's at 2,800. And then I also have Hector Bellerin in right now. I'm not sure if there's any injury situation there, but or if he's going to be rotated out for other players who may be coming back. But actually, Andrew, I'll talk to you about that. Is Bellerin, you think he's going to be ironed in for that defense spot?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility they bring Chambers in, but Bellerin's been playing well enough that I think he keeps that. And he was exposed a few times in the Spurs game, but I'm not sure Chambers would have been any different.
Yeah. So I have Bellerin at 4,400, Guzan at 4,200, and Vergini at 2,800. And Andrew, let's go with yours next.
I actually had Guzan early on. I actually started with him and then built the rest of my roster and had money left over and took him out, mostly because they stink. So I went with Ospina at 5,300, which I'm guessing is the most expensive.
It is.
Yep. And I coupled him with, as weird as it sounds, Guzan's teammate Alan Hutton and Sunderland's Patrick Van Aanholt, both of which throw in crosses like it's their job, but it is their job. The nice thing about DraftKings is that they give you points for crosses, not even successful crosses. So as long as those guys just keep pumping them in, I'll take the points. Hutton was 3,500 and Van Aanholt's 37.
And Chris, what about you? Any variations there?
I also went with Ospina and Van Aanholt for those two, but I threw in Koscielny as my other defender. I just think Arsenal's probably the best clean sheet shot this Tuesday.
So you tripled up on Arsenal?
Well, Van Aanholt from...
Oh, Van Aanholt. Excuse me. Doubled up.
Yeah, I doubled up.
Koscielny's a pretty attractive price, I remember. Is he?
He's 3,500. Yeah. He's actually probably one of the cheaper Arsenal defenders.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's actually gotten some set piece goals this year.
Yeah, he does.
So definitely can't complain with that. So Andrew, we'll start with your midfield.
I went with Carlos Heel at 5,000, which I thought was a steal for how much we keep talking about how great he is. Mm-hmm. And I spent 8,300 on Mesut Ozil instead of a comparable 8,800 for Cazorla.
And what about you, Chris?
I also went with Heel, but I threw in Christian Eriksen at $8,000.
Yeah, so I also went with Ozil, and I also went with Heel, and I also, actually, in my flex, I went with another midfielder with Raheem Sterling.
Mm.
So I actually took three, which is something I rarely do, but since every inclination I have is wrong in DraftKings, I'm going to try to go with the opposite George Costanza style. If everything I do is wrong, do the opposite. It must be right. So that's the theory I'm going with here. And then Chris, your forwards. And
I went with Jermaine Defoe mm-hmm. at 6,300, Daniel Sturridge 8,100, and Harry Kane at 10,100.
And yeah, that's we're going to see a lot of similar names here. I also went with Defoe and Harry Kane. So I have a funny feeling that Andrew kind of went the same way here. Andrew, who are your forwards and flex?
I went Defoe, Sturridge, and Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, very similar names.
Defoe, you can't. It's 6,300. You can't pass that up
against QPR at home.
Yeah,
you can't pass that up. So obviously, the value pick for the week here is probably going to be Defoe at 6,300, because
mm-hmm.
he may get goals. If there's going to be goals by Sunderland, he's probably going to get them, and there's a good price attached to it. So
as long as Van Aanholt feeds him, we're good.
yeah, especially for you guys. And Carlos Heel is another player to look out for at 5,000 in the midfield. Another value pick there. All right, so let's get back to our whip around the league here. So let's go to the Wednesday fixtures. We'll start off with Stoke City at struggling, or sorry, Man City traveling to Stoke. Both teams struggling a little bit, and I got to say, guys, trying to get through Stoke Newcastle last week was a chore. But then, of course, my hero Peter Crouch comes on and instantly scores a goal.
Instantly.
Do you feel that Peter Crouch may start again? May start this week because he actually scored a goal, or is it Jonathan Walters at the midfield playing the false nine role? And Andrew, I'll start with you there.
I think they're still pretty comfortable with Walters there. Obviously, we're not expecting another hat trick anytime soon, but I feel like they're pretty convinced that Crouch can't play 90, so they'd rather have him come off the bench and save the day at the end than trying to trot him out there for 60 and, you know, then have to replace him when he hasn't done anything. So I think they like having him come off the bench.
Yeah, and Chris, would you feel comfortable paying the price for Sergio Aguero this week?
You know, I don't think I would. I was looking at their fixtures between those two the last couple matches, and the last four have only had a total of 3 goals. I think Manchester City has struggled mightily without Torre. I think Aguero, I know I have him ranked second, but I'm starting to second guess myself, thinking I probably should have ranked him more where Andrew had him down at 6th or 7th. I don't think he's worthy of that price this week.
So Sergio Aguero has had 10 shots since he has returned from injury. How many of those shots do you feel have been on target?
2.
Andrew?
I was going to guess the same.
Well, you're both one away and did not go over. It's 3. Just same number as Christian Benteke. That's, if you think about it, how Christian Benteke has struggled, Sergio Aguero struggled equally.
Except he has 14 goals behind him.
Yes, but they both have scored the same number of goals since Sergio Aguero's come back from injury, 0. And the same number as you and I have scored, 0. So
he's going to get it going again. It's just, I think he needs Torre back.
I think everyone in that lineup needs Torre back. Something to consider for sure. But let's move on here. Are there any other options for Manchester City you'd consider starting in this matchup? Chris, we'll start with you here.
No, you know, it's tempted to go with one of the midfielders or Aguero, but I think this game's going to be lower scoring than people expect, and that they typically are, it's tough.
Does Joe Hart become an option for you, Andrew? Or any of the defenders?
Yeah, I mean, I try to kind of build away from them just because I don't really love taking defenders on the road, but I don't know. I rank Joe Hart. Actually, I'm looking now. I'm actually ranked him higher than both of you. I had him at 4. You guys had him at 5. So that's enough that, you know, if I'm taking any of the defenders, I'm going to try to get, you know, an assist out of it. So looking at somebody like Pablo Zabaleta, but I'll probably stay away from the center backs because I think there are better clean sheet opportunities later in the day or elsewhere in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we might get to one of them right now. Manchester United are at home against Burnley FC this weekend. Manchester United, of course, struggling mightily against West Ham last week, needing a Daily Blind very late equalizer to get even a point from that game. They have dropped out of Europe at this point, with Tottenham passing them, correct? They're in third. No, Southampton and
Man United's in 4th. Yeah, they're still there.
Oh, Manchester. Okay. So Manchester United holding on to the last European
spot.
There we go. Manchester United at home against Burnley. Is this a better clean sheet opportunity? And if so, do you start De Gea or any of the Manchester United defenders? Andrew, starting with you.
I'm too high on Danny Ings to go all in on De Gea or any of the defensive options. So I'm not the best one to ask for that one.
So speaking of Danny Ings, then, okay, so at the forward position, if they were even the same price, Chris, would you start Danny Ings or Wayne Rooney, even at the same price?
Oh, great question.
At their current position that they're playing in the field, I'm going Danny Ings. I think Rooney's just, he's not doing it back where they're playing him.
And Andrew, what about you?
Yeah, I completely.
You seem to like that question.
Completely, it was a great question. I completely agree. And, you know, there are a lot of fantasy games now that give points for, you know, passes and even touches and clearances and all this, you know, these great stats that make holding peripheral midfielders, stats. Yeah, as we've been calling them, peripheral stats. And Rooney is absolutely racking them up of late. The problem is that he's a forward, and he's defined as a forward in every game. I don't think anybody has him as a midfielder, so picking up these midfield stats is completely worthless. He's just not getting in any position to score goals, which is what you pay, you know, $10,000 for in DraftKings or whatever it is in the other contests. You're paying big price for no production from a forward.
And I want to go into this a little bit. What do you think is wrong with the offense in general, and, you know, it's specifically Angel Di Maria, who is midfield eligible and is not producing the way that he was when he started at Manchester United, and just not at all recently? Chris, do you feel that there's something wrong, or is this just Van Gaal doing something tactically that he's just not unlocking the potential of this player's?
Yeah, I agree with that last part. I think that they're just getting him the ball in the wrong spots. I don't know that he feels comfortable where he's playing. I mean, you look back, he was more of an assist guy for you than he was a goal scorer earlier in the season, and I think that's what he's best at. I think they've kind of just got those two guys flipped for I have no idea what reason, and it's kind of killing the fantasy potential of both of them.
Yeah, I wrote about this a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago, that, you know, Di Maria is getting further and further up the pitch, and Rooney is getting further and further back on the pitch, and Manchester United's goals per game is going lower and lower and lower. Yet the trends continue, and it doesn't. I mean, if I've noticed it, I'm sure Van Gaal has had someone tell him that this is actually happening. Yet he still continues to go through with this current trend. It's vexing at the least, and just dangerously harmful to the team at worst. And
if you look at his stats from the beginning of the season to now, and it's just a complete flop on assisted shots and shots, and I just don't think that's the player he is.
I 100% agree. And I want to end on one Burnley note here. Outside of Danny Ings and Kieran Trippier, is there would you start, let's say, George Boyd or Ashley Barnes in this game if the value was there price wise? Yes or no, both of you.
I'd consider
I'm
Boyd.
I'm going no.
Sorry, I should have said that. Andrew, you first.
So I'd consider Boyd, but it would have to be a really good value.
And Chris?
I'm going no. I think Manchester United's the second best chance for a clean sheet this week. If it's not Danny Ings, I'm going nobody.
Okay. That's very fair. I would say no as well. But I just wanted to get that out there, because George Boyd has been, in particular, has been playing very, very, very well.
Yeah, he has been.
So, just wanted to get that out there. And we'll move on now to a game where if you, in the first leg of it this season, if you had a goal over under of 8.5 and you chose the under, you would have lost. It's Chelsea at home against Everton. In the first leg, Chelsea won famously at Goodison 6-3. So in this matchup here, I don't expect as many goals. However, do you feel that this game will have a lot of goals in it, Chris? We'll start with you.
I think it will, especially from the Chelsea side. I don't know what's up with Everton defensively, but they're not playing well. I think Chelsea can score even without Diego Costa there. This is one where I could see Everton score one late when they're down 3-0, but that's basically where I'm looking at it.
Gotcha. And on the injury front, Andrew, any news on Leighton Baines or Sylvain Distan? Are either of them going to play?
I don't think Distan would have played regardless, but I think Baines is supposed to be back. Fabregas is supposed to be back as well. I'm not sure if he – I think we had spoken about this earlier today, that if he starts, he's certainly not going to go 90. I was going to ask you, do you think there's a better chance of Chelsea scoring 6 again or Everton scoring 3 again?
Just because it's a more reachable number, Everton scoring 3. Chelsea, I just don't think, set out to score 6 goals in any game. I mean, Everton literally gift-wrapped them 4 or 5 of those 6. They barely
have. And they're worse now, by the way.
and it's at Stamford Bridge, so conceivably it could be the case that Chelsea could score 6. And just because 3 is a more reachable number than 6 in most games – I'm going to say Everton with three.
Okay.
But Chris, what do you feel, actually? That's a good question for both of us.
Oh, I think Chelsea scoring six might be a more realistic number. Where are Everton getting three goals from on Wednesday?
Lukaku?
The
narrative of Lukaku scoring at Stamford Bridge to stick it to Mourinho is a strong one.
I love
a good narrative, so that would be one for me. And also, Aaron Lennon looked good when he came in on Derby Day. He looked dangerous on the right-hand flank, which is a place where Chelsea have looked pretty vulnerable, as Azpilicueta specifically. Carlos Heel turned him inside out a couple times. Against Southampton, whoever was on the right side, whether it was Tadic or whether it was Elio wasn't there yet, but people have turned him inside out, and that flank on the right-hand side of Chelsea, the left-hand side of Chelsea's defense, the right-hand side of the attack where Aaron Lennon would be, has been a weak spot for Chelsea this season, so I can see that being exposed. But I see goals for both teams in this game. I don't know where they're going to come from for Everton, but I would feel comfortable with whoever starts from Chelsea, Loic Remy or Didier Drogba. So that would be where I would go with that. And would you, in the games where you have to captain somebody, would you captain Eden Hazard this week?
I absolutely would.
Yeah, and Andrew, what about you?
I would if I didn't have Alexis Sanchez.
Gotcha. And Chris, expand on what you were going to say.
I think Hazard's the biggest winner from the Diego Costa suspension. I think everyone hoped it would be Remy or Didier Drogba, but I think Hazard is playing much better and getting the ball more with more opportunity.
Yeah, they look a little bit like they did last year, where everyone stands around and waits for Eden Hazard to do something great.
That's fantastic for fantasy.
Yeah, if you have Eden Hazard, yes, it certainly is. All right, but we'll move on here to Southampton at home against West Ham, which I feel like is the... Considering that we've all been asked this question, who's going to finish on top, West Ham or Southampton? And I think me and Kevin King are the only two who said West Ham, so I'll be rooting for West Ham pretty hard in this one.
You're somehow looking for an 8-point swing in this game.
I very much need an 8-point swing in this game. But this is going to be the most entertaining matchup on Wednesday. Chris, do you agree or no?
Man, I just don't think West Ham has looked good recently, especially on the road. I can't see them doing much on that Southampton defense, and Southampton's kind of looked a little explosive with getting all their players back outside of Pelé, looking pretty good on the attack. I think this one might be more lopsided than you think.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hope not. I'm not feeling great about my stance on West Ham anymore. But
they both have some issues in the back right now in terms of injuries and suspensions, though, because Southampton's missing Alderweireld and Bertrand, and West Ham's missing Winston Reid, and I think Collins and Tompkins are a little banged up, so they got some issues there.
Should be a fun one to watch, though. That makes a fun game to watch. And Sadio Mane in his last four, was it appearances or starts, Andrew?
Four goals and four starts, so four goals in his last five games, because he had one where he came off the bench. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And if him and Elia play, which is probably likely not going to happen, but if they both play, who would you start between the two of them?
Probably Mane, just because of how well he's been, because he's actually putting it in the net.
Yeah. And Chris, I'll make it even harder. If Tadic, between all the midfield options, Ward-Prowse, Tadic, Mane, and Elia, who's your favorite among the four?
I might go with Ward-Prowse. It's tough because Mane, he just seems to convert and get the ball into the back of the net, like Andrew says, and it's where Ward-Prowse really isn't doing it, even though he's got the opportunities. I like Ward-Prowse. I think he's got assist potential too, which is something Sadio Mane really doesn't have.
No.
I think he could do it both ways, where Mane's limited to the goals.
Yeah, I just like Andrew said previously, I just wish Ward-Prowse scored more.
Yeah,
he's only 13 years old, so maybe he'll develop that.
He looks no more than 10.
No.
So, we were talking about this off the podcast about England strikers, but the England attacking midfield is also just as stacked. Just throwing that out. If you want to make an all England team under the age of 26, it gets very crowded in the midfield as well. But on that note, though, on West Ham, are they just not the same without Andy Carroll?
They don't seem to be.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Sam Allardyce was not happy with the way the last game ended. I hope they carry that anger into this game, but I got to say, I'm not feeling too confident in my West Ham pseudo-supportership here.
It's just not an easy place to play.
No, it's not. But
do you think of anything from Pelé at all? Or is he starting to be one of those guys you start counting out?
Mike's counting him out.
It's tough. So he's third in the same time period since Aguero has come back from injury. He's third on the list here in terms of touches in the box, which is 32. And it's only led to one shot on target.
He hit the post on Saturday.
That actually does not count as a shot on target.
I'm just saying.
He's at eight shots in the box. Only one have been on target.
Yep. It was Saturday.
Yeah.
Against QPR.
it's hard for me. It's like in baseball when there's like a rookie hitter who comes up from the minors and there's no book on him yet, and he scorches the league the first time through, but when pitchers see him a second time, they start to adjust, and he now needs to make an adjustment. He hasn't done that yet. That's kind of what I see here with Pelé and with Charlie Austin, for that matter. I feel like they both have kind of been figured out. And they need to make an adjustment. They need to do something a little different, a plan B, if you will, a different way to attack. Is that fair or unfair, Chris?
I think that's a really good analogy. Do you think Danny Ings falls into that at all, or do you think he's made the adjustment?
Danny Ings and Harry Kane, something will happen. And Pochettino has said this about Harry Kane, that Harry Kane needs to continue to develop his game, and he needs to continue to grow as a player, and if he does that, he can be world class. So that's how I would mimic what Pochettino said about Harry Kane. If he continues to work hard, if he continues to develop all the facets of his game, then I see him continuing. If for some reason that does not happen, I can see a Graziano Pelle situation. I can see a Charlie Austin situation. I think with Danny Ings, I see it happening to Danny Ings more than I would see it happening to Harry Kane. Because Harry Kane is, Men in Blazers say this, and it's a perfect way to put it, it's about 10% skill and 90% belief with Harry Kane. He just thinks he's going to get every ball, and he thinks he's going to score on every shot, on every header, and he plays that way.
So I know you like the either-ors. Can I throw one at you?
Sure, go nuts.
Graziano Pelle or Danny Ings?
Danny Ings. Yeah. This week, Danny Ings.
At Manchester United.
Yes. Graziano Pelle at anywhere has been terrible.
Yeah.
He's only scored twice in the last 16 games, I believe. So.
Well, and you can't argue against that, right? I feel like those two guys, you're right. They're kind of starting to fall into the same category, and Ings is just hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially because if you're talking about a weekly game, the price on Ings, it might be similar. So I'd still go with Ings. Andrew, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going with Ings as well. I'm trying to.
We know you love Ings, but Chris, what about you?
Ings is $2,000 cheaper in DraftKings, by the way.
Oh, well,
Ings is cheaper?
$6,500 to $8,500.
Yeah, I think Ings is the no-brainer there between those two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially with that price difference, it really glaring.
Yeah.
I think that's backwards. It should be the other way around. But anyway, we'll move on here to a game that has some interest, but not too much. Crystal Palace, more of a narrative than fantasy. Crystal Palace with Alan Pardew are at home against Pardew's old team at Newcastle. What to make of the Newcastle offense part two? We talked about it last week, and Ayoze Perez looked dangerous again. Moussa Sissoko looks really good recently, and he was talked about a move to Arsenal in the last transfer window. Andrew, do you feel that Sissoko has any value from the midfield?
Yeah, his only problem is playing time; that he's not a consistent starter, and so
which boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's very surprising, but I think if he starts, he's definitely an interesting play. I'd probably stay away from him just because I think there's some better options. But I think he just needs to play more.
Yeah. And Chris, as far as Crystal Palace here, if Dwight Gale starts, would you use him this week as a potential value?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this game has the potential to be high scoring. I'm looking at attacking options on both sides, and Dwight Gale definitely falls into that category.
Yeah, at Dwight Gale, so I've been talking about basically since the beginning of last month, the beginning of January. Ilze Perez and Dwight Gale. Perez has 24 touches in the box. Gale has 21, but Gale has started far fewer games. The 24 touches for Perez have led to 9 shots. The 21 touches for Dwight Gale, could give me a number to think of how many shots he's had.
15.
Close.
I was going to say 12.
14.
Wow.
14. And 11 of those have come from the inside the box, and 5 have been on target. And Perez has only had 4 on target. That's just since Pardew has gotten to Palace, Dwight Gale is just – he's dangerous. He has – the opportunity is so incredibly high. If that continues, he's going to score goals. I mean, he has 3 goals to Perez's 0. The only person to score more goals in that time, by the way, Harry Kane.
Does Danny Ings not have that many?
He has 3. Yeah. Olivier Giroud has 2.
There we go.
But just the numbers for Dwight Gale have been pretty staggering. Now, granted, 2 of them came in 1 game, but he hasn't been starting that much recently. So I just think Dwight Gale, I think, is the fantasy play this week. And is there anyone on Newcastle that either one of you would use at all? Chris, start with you.
I'm still high on Remy Cabella, but I think the playing time worries me a little bit that he typically won't. He's not going to play 90 minutes, so you have to hope he gets it done early before they sub him out.
Yeah, and Andrew, I think I know the answer here, but would you use anyone on Newcastle?
No.
We'll move on now.
Oh, wait, before you move on, do you know how old Dwight Gale is?
I want to say 23.
He's 24. Just turned 24.
It's close. Oh,
there's another one on our under 25 list.
Yeah, well, I don't think he'd make the list, really, for England, unfortunately for him.
So am I the only one here that thinks Newcastle's going to score Wednesday?
I'm just not sure who scores.
Yeah,
I'm not
on
the Cabella train.
Score. It's just, so the thing about Newcastle has been they have an individual player score in bunches at times. Like there was Gabby Oberton, there was Ilze Perez, there was Poppy Cisse multiple times. I think there was one more player that scored in bunches, and I'm blanking on who it was. But it's basically just a random person keeps stepping up for about a game or two, and then they go away. So equal opportunity scoring from Newcastle. I'm not sure if they're playing matchups or if it's just random people are scoring. But that's why I tend to stay away from Newcastle. They don't get enough clean sheets to go for any defensive options.
No, I agree with that.
So I love Newcastle Brown Ale, but as far as Newcastle as a fantasy Premier League option, I just can't find any. But we'll move on to the last game of the weekend, which is Tony Pulis's West Brom leaking 6 goals in the last 2 games at home against Swansea City. Andrew, we've talked about this a little bit off pod, especially now with Andre Wisdom being substituted 2 games ago and benched last game. Are you starting to worry about having, let's say, Ben Foster or Andre Wisdom or any defensive option from West Brom, even though it's managed by Tony Pulis?
I'm definitely a little weary now. Not enough to completely pass them over. I think I'm a little more confident in Foster than I am Wisdom, just based on playing time or pretty much any of the defensive options. You know, theoretically, you could grab the clean sheet with a guy like McCauley, I guess, but he doesn't really do much outside of that. So I'm not totally off yet, maybe because they're playing Swansea this week. If they were playing, you know, Man United at home, I may change my tune, but this week I'm still slightly okay with them.
Yeah. And Chris, would you start someone like Jolyan Lescott?
They've looked awfully bad defensively the last 2 weeks. It's tough for me. I get it that it was Tottenham, but at Burnley, I know it's Danny Ings, but it's tough for me to go with a team that's given up, 5 goals in the last 2 matches and depend 6 on them defensively.
Is it 6 or 5?
You got me.
Is it five? They lost 3-0 and then drew 2-2.
Yeah, five. Correct. All right. And so since you guys aren't too comfortable with the defensive options, does that mean that Bafétimbi Gomi has some potential here for Swansea or no? Chris, we'll start with you.
You know, I think Gomi, I think he leads the league in shot attempts since January 1st, but he's only put 4 of them on target. Hmm. You talk about someone who hasn't seen that. I mean, someone who's Rick Vaughn, I think Gomi's probably the best case for that. And that's just killing his potential. I think he's got to put him on target for anyone to trust him. I actually kind of like Jonjo Shelvey in this one with no Sigurdsson again.
Harry Kane, I think, has more shots. I think in what I have, at least according to the chart that I have here, Gomi has 13, Gale has 14, so does Berahino, and Harry Kane has 18.
Since January 1st?
It may not be. Yeah, it's just since Aguero came back, so I think it was the week after.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's close to the top, and he's only put 2 on target. So, yeah, him and Benteke fall into the same range here. What's interesting, though, is that his 17 touches in the box have led to 13 shots. So when he gets the ball, he's shooting.
Yeah.
But at nothing.
Right. He's shooting into the crowd.
Another Rick Vaughn. So maybe, yeah. He also could be just adjusting to the Premier League as well. But, you know, if Gomi is not used to the physical play, he's going up against the wrong manager right now, because especially after the two embarrassing defensive performances, you know Pulis is drilling that defense until they puke. So I think there's a good potential that it's no goals for either team here. Do you think there's a goal? Do you think there's, let's say, over under 1.5 goals scored? Chris, we'll start with you. Over or under?
Under.
Andrew?
Same.
I'm going, all three going under. Do you think it's a clean sheet? Do you think it's 0-0, or do you think it's 1-0 for one of the two teams? Andrew, you first.
I'm going to take 1-0 for West Brom.
Chris?
I agree with Andrew. 1-0 West Brom.
I would say 1-0 Swansea, so we'll see what happens here. But let's go to our second daily dose here for DraftKings, the Wednesday lineups. Andrew, let's start with you with your goalie and two defenders.
I started Ben Foster in goal, hoping for my 1-0. I had originally...
What a smooth transition I had
perfect,
just there.
Perfect. I had originally had him. I had Wisdom. I had McCauley. I had a whole bunch of West Brom defenders, and I eventually threw them all out. And I have now, strangely, Kyle Naughton, who I have more for, hopefully, that he sends in a few crosses.
So basically, you just said it's going to be 1-0 West Brom. Yeah, exactly.
Hedging myself here for a scoreless draw. And I have Kieran Trippier as well.
Of course you do.
I didn't. Playing Man U, I think there's a goal in there, and I think he sets it up.
And since they play three at the back, you know he's going to be able to throw in some crosses.
That's the hope.
Yep. All right, and Chris, let's go to your goalies and defenders.
It's funny because usually no one hates on a Manchester City away match defensively more than me, but actually with Joe Hart and Gale Clichy as goalie and defender, and then I threw in Bronislav Ivanovic back there as well.
Ooh, lots of money going on back there.
I feel like people aren't going to be playing those guys, and I could take advantage of that and kind of separate myself if Man City gets pinched.
I agree with you that not a lot of people will be playing that much money for the defenders. Just out of curiosity, how much is Ivanovic?
4,900.
That's only 300 more than Trippier, so I mean I can see how there's value there. So I actually went pretty much the opposite of Andrew here. Well, almost. I went Fabianski in goal. And I also went with Kyle Naughton, so I'm not hedging anything. Doubling up on Swansea there. Exactly. And I also went with Kieran Trippier as well. I think, especially because they count crosses, Kieran Trippier is the man to get in defense for crosses. It's like it's his job, because it is his job.
Yeah, it's great. We were saying that they count crosses, not successful crosses. He had 12 of them last week. 7 the week before and 11 the game before that. I mean,
And by the way, I watched the Burnley game last week. There were a couple of them. I think Ashley Barnes had a header attempt that was just ridiculously terrible. Mm-hmm. Danny Ings even missed one that would have been. Basically, Kieran Trippier gets the ball. If he's in the attacking third, it's going. He's crossing it. He's not shy. And also, if he has it at the midway point, he'll launch it in.
Yep.
So it's. there's so much potential there if they can only convert some. But I'll go with my midfielders. I again went with three midfielders because once again, I always say get three forwards. That must be wrong. So I'm going to try three midfielders now. If this doesn't work next time, I'm going to try three defenders and see how that works. But I have Alhero Elia from Southampton. I have Eden Hazard and David Silva as my three as my two midfielders. I also went with midfield and the flex. So, Chris, did you go with two or three midfielders in this game?
I went with two, and I think we talked about it, and I loved your play of Eden Hazard, so I went with him. And I went with Jonjo Shelvey this week for Swansea City.
Oh, good, good. So some Swansea City love here, even though you think it'll be 1-0 West Brom.
I think he's going to put up 15 shots this week or somewhere close to that. He's been throwing the ball at the net like crazy.
He's not shy.
No, he's not.
Not shy. Now, are you worried about his red? Do they give negative points for red cards on DraftKings? I believe they do.
They do. And you know, it's a chance. 15 shots will cancel one of those out, right? So
that's true.
I'll take my chances on that.
That's true. As long as we're talking hyperbolically. Absolutely. Andrew, did you use two or three midfielders?
I went with two, and I both went with value plays here, at least what I considered value plays. I paid $5,500 for Jason Puncheon, and I paid $5,400 for James Ward-Prowse.
Those are good plays. I'm changing my lineup now.
If one of the two, I can't believe of the three of us, I'm the one who doesn't have Jason Puncheon.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, that if there was only one person to take Jason Puncheon, it wasn't me.
Yep.
I always take Jason Puncheon.
It's funny because now that you say those prices, and I have Shelvey at 5,600, both of those I think I like more now.
Yeah, Andrew Laird, if there's one consistency point, is he'll find someone really cheap in the daily game. It makes you feel like you want to change to that player, and then when you do, they do nothing.
Yep. So please stay away. That's
been the story of my DraftKings and being on this podcast. All right, but at forwards, Andrew, we'll start with you. Who are your two forwards in flex?
I went with a $6,500 Danny Ings, a $9,800 Robin Van Persie, and a $10,400 Sergio Aguero. Hoping this is the breakout game.
All right, and Chris, what about you?
I also went with Danny Ings. I think $6,500 is a good value for him. I went with Dwight Gale at $5,000, and I had enough money for Falcao at $8,600.
I seriously dislike my team more and more now. So I have Sadio Mane at $5,800 and Loic Remy at $7,900. Taking a guess that Chelsea will start Loic Remy. But I will be definitely changing my lineup if it is Didier Drogba that starts. So,
Do you do a straight change or do you?
Probably not.
Yeah, because Drogba, I'm trying to see here. Well, Remy's at $7,900 and Drogba is at $67.
Yeah.
So $1,200 to play with.
Yeah, or if I do, I would make a change somewhere else. You know, I would do that and then probably make another switch somewhere else. I don't know where yet. I haven't looked at it yet. But if I had to change out of Loic Remy to Didier Drogba, I'd be making multiple switches at that point.
Yeah.
Unless for some reason Dzeko started, I would contemplate that.
He started last week.
Like and didn't go very well.
No,
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in this midweek form, and then we'll get back to you with the next week's version of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. As always, if you need any lineup suggestions, make sure you go to our lineup page first to make sure that everybody that you started is actually in the lineup. And where can you find that, Andrew?
RotoWire.com/soccer.
And do you have to pay for any of that?
All free.
Oh, that's the best. All right. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For Chris and for Andrew, this is Mike saying see you next weekend, actually, for the preview. We might preview FA Cup, but if not, we'll catch you next time in about a week and a half for game week 26 for the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.